I want to quickly go to the Q&A, which was written by Mr. Dave Harris. And he's asking the pertinent question, how can I have fellowship when I am the only person in my area seeking the truth of God? And again, if you haven't read that, please do so. It's a very thoughtful Q&A. I'd like to just hit two paragraphs, pretty much at the end of the Q&A, where he says, the Church of the Eternal God and its affiliates provide live streaming Sabbath services with a chat room option and boundless resources on our various websites. Of course, you are right now participating in our live stream services. Otherwise, if you weren't, you wouldn't be able to listen to me. It says we present weekly updates and standing watching of Postenstein videos featuring world events in light of prophetic fulfillment. Members do find opportunities for fellowship during the Feast of Tabernacles, and that is even true for those who cannot physically attend these services, so the use of video streaming over the internet, because we are broadcasting those live over the internet, even during the Feast of Tabernacles, both here and also in Germany. So going through then the current events, we have a lot of material, a lot of material we are covering, and some of that will be part of the, or is part actually of the Standing Watch program, the Auf Postenstehen program, so everything which has to do with Germany, most of that is covered in the Standing Watch program and a lot more. We have a few articles on the attack in Las Vegas, that everything is unclear. We're talking about the resurgence of ICE, or the Islamic State, the way they call them. The mystery drone frenzy continues. The shocking story of the Chinese spy balloon. Biden's departure gifts, and also his further sabotage, it's my words. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, then just read what we are saying here in the update by quoting some articles. And then there are more interesting developments, which I will talk about in a moment. I like to just say that we are also watching, of course, very carefully some candidates, the rising and rising up in Europe, Germany, Austria in particular. We this time have focused on the former Minister of Health in Germany, Jens Spahn, who is becoming again more and more outspoken and visible. But there are other people too. Count von Gutenberg, you may recall him. He just gave an interview, quite interesting what he had to say. Then we have Mr. Kickl in Austria. We also talked about Sebastian Kurz, the one who at this point is not willing to run, but might very well in the future. So there are definitely people we want to keep an eye on, because they might very well have some influence and some even prophetic role to play in the future. I do have to talk about the devastating Los Angeles fires. We have two articles in this particular update. One talks about in general, and the other one talks about the blame game, if you can call it such. But of course, a lot more articles have been published in the meantime. Demands for Mr. Newsom to resign becoming louder. The same is true, of course, for the mayor of Los Angeles. And it is interesting to me that even his own Democratic friends, quote unquote, are now turning against him, making strong accusations and allegations against him, making him responsible for the fires, and most certainly to an extent, correctly so. And the articles which we are going to publish will have a lot to say about what they have to say, and also the fact that the idea that climate change has anything to do with that is just absolutely nonsense. All of that is going to be covered. But we will have an article in there about the fall of Gavin Newsom. And so they already predict that he is going to step down, will have to step down. Now, the kind of a person he is, he probably will try to avoid this as long as he can, like Mr. Trudeau in Canada has tried to avoid it, but then when his own friends turned against him, then he absolutely had no more choice but to resign. Mr. Newsom should have resigned a long time ago, when you think of his hypocrisy during the coronavirus situation. That was a time he should have stepped down already. But anyway, so they are all kind of feeling that he is mainly responsible, calling them arsonists and all of these interesting words. So it is true that, it was completely, totally unprepared, and even money which was allocated, should have been allocated to fire prevention, was, you know, canceled and was given to third world countries. And I mean, the nonsense how this state is being ruled is just beyond recognition. But I like to, at this point, talk a little bit about Mr. Trump and what he has been saying insofar as Greenland is concerned, insofar as Panama is concerned, and of course, insofar as Canada is concerned. And most people think, well, he's just joking, especially when it comes to Canada. And other people say, no, he's not joking. We should actually take this very, very seriously. What I am taking out of this is the fact that the relationship between the United States and Europe has gotten again worse and worse and worse, even when it comes to some things he said while he's not even in power yet. But the reaction, especially, as I will show you, especially from Europe and Russia, has been quite interesting. First, I'd like to read a few articles there, which we'll have in the next update, because we are talking about Greenland and Canada and also the Panama Canal in our current update. But here are some more articles which were published. The U.S. Sun wrote on January 9 that Vladimir Putin has desperately hit back at Donald Trump after he refused to rule out using military action to potentially seize Greenland. Trump said that U.S. ownership of Greenland is an absolute necessity to protect global national security and freedom. An attempt, this article goes on to say, an attempt to take over the resource-rich island for national security reasons might not be as mad as it sounds. Greenland sits right in the middle of the Arctic Ocean and is among, or the Arctic Ocean, and is among the key trade routes in the region. The Arctic has increasingly become the object of a struggle between international superpowers, as Russia and China have both ramped up efforts to take control of the area. The Kremlin has started building the world's largest fleet of nuclear icebreakers to open up new shipping routes. Russia has not been the only country to send a warning Trump's way after several major EU nations spoke out. Both Germany and France made surprise warnings to the president-elect against using force to possibly take the ice islands. French Foreign Minister Jean-Noël Barrot suggested moves on the territory would be an attack, listen to the words, would be an attack on the European Union. German Chancellor Olaf Scholz said Trump's remarks triggered incomprehension among European leaders. Now that's number one. Here comes article number two, written by The Guardian, as of today. Now, The Guardian, of course, a left-wing paper, so you have to obviously listen to the wording from that standpoint. But this is what they wrote. Of course, this is a paper from England. Europe has been braced since the U.S. presidential election in November for the challenge posed by Donald Trump's return, but the threat to European stability has come earlier and appears far more serious than predicted, even by the pessimists. Trump has already revived his territorial aspirations for Greenland. Meanwhile, Trump's financial backer and confidant, Elon Musk, the world's richest man, has been using his ownership of the ex-social media platform to aggressively further the cause for far-right parties in Europe, threatening the continent with the realization of its ultimate nightmare, the return of fascism, this time abetted from Washington. The fallout from Trump's territorial ambitions is felt most keenly in Europe. Capitals are in a dilemma over how to respond, torn between outrage over the blatant interference in favor of extremists and anxiety over becoming a focus for Trump and Musk's personal grievances. And then they say, on the eve of a second Trump term, the United States and Europe have rarely appeared so at odds. And you see, this is just the beginning. As we have been telling you for I don't know how long, it ultimately doesn't matter who's going to rule the United States of America, who's going to rule Europe, who's going to rule Europe, Europeans' biggest countries, Germany and so on, because what is prophesied is going to happen. It's going to be fulfilled. I have one article here, which again could be looked upon as prophetic. It's something we have been saying for years. I found it this morning, if I can get to it. And I was reading this and I thought, wow, this is interesting because this is exactly what we have been saying all along. And I know it's somewhere. Please give me a moment. It's all the papers I have. This one, of course, I can find. But I will find it in a moment. It's something which has to do with, first of all, German institutions departing from X, you know, after there was this interview between Mr. Musk and Alice Weidel from the AfD. So they said, no, we don't want to be there anymore. The highest court in Germany, beneath the constitutional court, is now going to leave, which is meaningful. But here's the one I was looking for by Reuters, January 11. Now listen to this one. The German military will establish a new division tasked exclusively with territorial defense, the army said on Saturday, bringing all existing reserve units under direct army command. The recognition will take effect in April and raise the number of German divisions from 3 to 4. It says the Western Military Alliance, NATO, is at its highest alert stage since the Cold War, with its more pessimistic officials, including German Defense Minister Boris Pistorius, saying that an attack by Russia on its borders could happen within 4 years. The German move will streamline command structures and territorial defense at a time when what Berlin describes as acts of Russian sabotage against the country's critical infrastructure have reached a new height. So far, Britain has 3 divisions that NATO can call upon in case of conflict, whose main job will be defending the alliance by confronting an adversary right at the front lines. The 4th Division will be tasked with Germany's defense at home, including the protection of infrastructure such as ports, railways, and supply, and deployment routes. Germany is gearing up for its role as major logistic hub in any conflict with Moscow, with tens of thousands of reinforcement troops from other NATO allies expected to be deployed east through Germany after arriving at the North Sea ports. You see how Germany is becoming more and more influential even when it comes to military matters? And if Mr. Trump is carrying through with his threats of not supporting Ukraine any longer, or at least not to the extent America has been doing, then it will fall on Europe, under German leadership, to continue if that's what they want to do. Since they are so afraid of Russia, they probably will try to do whatever they can to prolong this war, which Ukraine cannot win, which Ukraine has already lost. But still, millions upon millions of money is being poured into this conflict. So I think you can see how the situation with Mr. Trump at the helm of the United States will deteriorate when it comes to the situation with Europe and especially with Germany. You know, Mr. Musk has become very unpopular in Germany due to his support of the AfD party, which is, of course, a right-wing party, but not, in my mind, not as bad as it is being portrayed by the mass media. And so he is being, of course, accused of trying to, as we have just heard in the article by the left-wing magazine, The Guardian, he is accused of trying to bring fascism back to Germany. And of course, this is not going to help the relationship, especially since the established parties want to stay in power. And I was reading today that the AfD has reached now number two in popularity. CDU, Mr. Merz's party, originally Mrs. Merkel's party, to which also Jens Spahn belongs, that's still number one, followed by the AfD, and then only comes the SPD, which is the party Olaf Scholz belongs to. And that is way down. So in Austria, as you know, the coalition talks have collapsed, and now it looks like that Mr. Kickl might have a very important role to play. He was asked to build a new government. And of course, he is compared to, and his party, the FPÖ, is compared to the German AfD party. They say it's kind of the sister party, so they all stand for the same things. And so the establishment in Austria doesn't like it too much either, what's happening there, but they see there is really not much they can do. When it comes to the AfD, I believe there's not much you can do to prevent the AfD of having a leading role to play. Now, Merz has been saying, the chancellor for the candidate for the chancellorship under the CDU, that he will not have any coalition with the AfD. He's saying that now. I believe things will change. Originally, taking a different approach, but originally, Germans have all said, oh, we are not going to have anything to do with Hitler, right? No party wanted to have a coalition with Hitler until finally he was asked by the president, German president, to build a government. So things are in flux. Things are repeating itself. And that brings me to the history I want to address quickly when it comes to Greenland and Canada. Let's talk about Greenland. Now, I know that I read in the past that Germany in World War II tried to occupy Greenland. Looking at the internet, they are telling me that Germany did not attempt to occupy Greenland during World War II. However, here comes a big however. The Nazis attempted to establish weather stations in Greenland during World War II, but were unsuccessful. Well, not quite. They did establish some, and the word is that they're wanting to use those in order to invade the United States. In any event, the article goes on to say that the United States and its allies intervened to prevent the Nazis from gaining control of the island. Now listen to this. The United States occupied Greenland in 1941 to prevent Germany from using the island. You think it's completely out of the question that the United States could occupy Greenland again if the feeling is they absolutely do need to do so in order to make sure that United States security concerns are being met? I wouldn't necessarily dismiss that possibility. Of course, Trump is going to use this as a leverage for talks, and Greenland has already now invited, apparently, from what I understand, Mr. Trump to talk. They say, oh, Greenland is not for sale, but we'll have to see what's coming out of it. Canada, the idea like, oh, Canada could become the 51st state of the United States, that's ridiculous, that could never happen. Well, let's talk about the history. The United States occupied Canada in 1775 and in 1812. Ah, yeah, that was way back when. But the War Plan Red, I don't know whether you've heard of that, the War Plan Red in 1930 was also drummed up by the U.S. Department of War on how to invade Canada if ever needed. An article on the internet says, it seems hard to fathom that discussions about U.S. annexation efforts against Canada are actually unfolding. Alarming indeed, but it would be a mistake to ignore history, overlook the U.S. Constitution, and try to outwit the art of the deal. Trump's calls for Canada to join the United States could only happen by drafting a treaty demonstrating that a process of cession, purchase, or occupation is legal. Well, they could draft that kind of a treaty. Then Congress would have to approve it, and only with a two-third majority of the Senate. Now, of course, presently Trump doesn't have a two-third majority of the Senate, but who knows whether, in case of quote-unquote need, the Congress and the Senate, how they would act. Trump said he might use economic might to coerce Canada into joining the US, Canada would need to essentially disband. That, experts say, would require invoking a constitutional amendment that would require the agreement of the House of Commons, the Senate, and every province. You say, oh, that's never going to happen. Well, let's just wait and see. You know, the reason I'm bringing this up is because, and I talked to one of our members recently about it, I've been wondering for years, but we in the church have been clearly stating that Europe, under German leadership, will attack the United States of America and also Great Britain. Let's say Great Britain, perhaps without one interesting aspect. But we've also said that they would also attack Canada and potentially Australia, New Zealand, even perhaps South Africa. But I want to focus on Canada. And I was thinking, you know, why Canada? Canada seemed to play such an unimportant role in on the world scene. Well, it would make a lot of sense, right, if Canada would be closely aligned to the United States. Now, this brings me to Quebec. But before I talk about Quebec, I'd like to talk about Ireland. Because, as you probably know, there are two parts of Ireland. You have Southern Ireland and you have Northern Ireland. Southern Ireland, called the Republic of Ireland, has been a member state of the European Union since 1973. And they use the euro as their currency. And they are still a member of the EU. Now that's Southern Ireland. Northern Ireland and the rest of the UK left the EU on January 31, 2020. Northern Ireland is not part of the EU, they are part of the UK. So you have Southern Ireland being part of the EU, Northern Ireland being part of the UK. They use the pound sterling as a currency. They were neutral in World War II. Now, Southern Ireland was not. Northern Ireland was neutral in World War II. They endured a German attack in early January of 1941, but they left the lights on. They didn't black out Dublin at night to allow the Nazis the way to Dublin. They did that on purpose. Now, some deny that, oh, that never happened. Yeah, of course. No, that's very much established. So the point is, you have two parts of Ireland. One belongs to the EU, the other one does not. That brings me to Quebec. Quebec had several referenda to become independent. The proposal of June 12, 1995 was rejected by voters with 50.58% voting no and 49.42% voting yes. So it was by a little bit more than 1% margin that Quebec stayed with Canada. Otherwise, they would have become independent. Now, the margin was significantly smaller than the 1980 referendum. The yes side was a choice of French speakers by an estimated majority of about 60%. Okay, that was 30 years ago. Now, if you read the articles about Quebec, you find that there is a momentum to again wanting to become independent. Now, a referendum hasn't been declared yet, but let's look at the scenario. Quebec, French-speaking, and somebody pointed it out to me, and I thought that was an interesting thought. They would not go to the United States if the rest of Canada would actually join with the United States. They would want to stay independent and would look at the EU. They would look at France. They would look at EU powers. And you would have a very similar situation than you have when it comes to Ireland. So I'm bringing this just up as some interesting concepts. When I hear talks about let's occupy Greenland, let's make sure that Canada is becoming part of the United States, and looking at biblical prophecy, then I would say there is probably more to it than meets the eye. And we should most certainly not just dismiss this as idle talk. When Trump says all things, he's testing the waters. He's not just making this out of blue air and without any meaning. So what we are seeing right now is an awakening of Germany when it comes to military powers. We are seeing candidates arising now, one of whom, or maybe somebody else whom I haven't mentioned, might very well be the beast. We know the beast is alive and well. He had a deadly wound, but he came out of this deadly wound scenario. Well, all the people I've mentioned today, whether it was Jens Spahn, whether it was Sebastian Kurz, whether it was Mr. Kickl, whether it was some other people, Count Gutenberg, I think it's called, his name, it's a long name, they all received a deadly wound. But they all seem to come out of that abyss, and there might be others. So the point is, we got to wait, we got to watch, we got to look carefully as to what is happening, but I suggest to you that we are much closer, as I said in the Standing Watch program too, much closer to prophetic events which are being clearly in the making than many may realize. Of course, when it comes to the American people, they have no clue as to what's going on. Unfortunately, most of the Germans don't either. But let me just say this. We had a Skype meeting on Sunday, and also the issue came up, I mean, with people in Germany, the issue came up regarding this interview which was taking place between Musk and Alice Weidel, the leader of the AfD party. And while this was going on, people put down their comments. And I was told, you know, over there, the lady who told me, she was just shocked. She was just shocked to see the kind of comments which were put down. All of them, the one she emphasized, anti-Israel, pro-Palestinian, pro-Allah, pro-Islamist, so to speak. The AfD is the only party in Germany, really, who stands up with all meaningful conduct towards that movement. The others are all too afraid to even say something. The Germans see that. The Germans don't like it. The Germans will react, perhaps sooner than many think.